Let's go back to verse 19. Let's look at this anger thing, because that's a real stainer, okay? And what he says is, if you want to have an unsoiled life, you got to start dealing with this anger thing, because all of us, in one way or another, have a brush with anger. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. In your mind, write down this verse, Psalm 64:3. This is what it says. Psalm 64:3. Whoever sharpens their tongue like a sword and bends their bows to shoot their arrows of bitter words, and it goes on and on talking about their disaster. You know what the Bible calls the words we speak when we're angry? He calls them, God calls them a sword. He says, and when we're angry and we talk, it's like just shooting out. What a picture. Can you see it? Can you see your tongue with a big sharp knife on the end of it, and you go up, you go, you know, and you just keep, you keep swording people. You keep damaging and bruising and wounding. And the sword has hurt more people than the sword of the tongue, than all the wars in history put together. Someone wrote a poem, angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. With the soul's best impulse, ever check them ere they soil your lips. Angry words are quickly spoken. Bitter thoughts are rashly stirred. Fondest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Psychologists and people that study this stuff says that the average man will lose his temper 6 times a week. That's pretty good. The average woman, 3 times a week. Women get more angry at people, according to psychologists. Men get more angry at things like flat tires, machines, dull razors, and stuff like that. Single adults, this was interesting what the people that study these things say, single adults express their anger twice as often as married adults. So it must be there's a calmative factor to marriage. There's another positive thing about marriage. At home is where most of us express our anger. And anger is most frequent and intense toward those we love the most. Usually not toward strangers. That's interesting. The Bible says, in your anger, don't sin. Like right here. It says that we should not do the anger that doesn't accomplish God's righteousness. Let's talk about anger for a second. You know, there are basically 4 different types of angry people. And see if you can find yourself this morning. I had fun with this week. Because there are 4 ways we express our anger when we have it. 3 times a week for a lady, 6 times a week for a man, or whatever. They're learned responses. We have learned to express our anger in the way we were taught to express it. Some of us learned it from our parents. You know, the buggy eyes, you know. So we bug our eyes when we get angry. Or the... So we... I mean, have you ever seen your children do what you do? It's disgusting. Utterly disgusting. I saw little Joseph, and Joseph was... I didn't do it this morning. What a bad illustration. But I always keep my pen right here because I lose it all the time. Here's a little 4-year-old. With only a little tiny shirt on, he's got a great big pen, and he's trying to stick it in there. And he stood there all day and was stabbing himself and everything, trying to get it in there. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to put his pen in his shirt right there. We have learned from our parents, from television, from friends, from our wife or husband, we've learned how to respond when we're angry. Someone has given 4 titles to the 4 typical responses to anger. Listen to these. First of all, there's the maniac. That's someone who explodes like a walking time bomb. They're a hair-trigger-tempered person. They're out of control. When they get angry, they get angry. When she gets angry, she gets angry. You just let it fly. You throw stuff. You cuss. You yell. You stomp up and down. You throw a temper fit. A good example of this in the Bible, of the exploder, the maniac, is Cain. He got upset at Abel out in the garden, and what did he do? He knocked him right down and killed him right in the garden, and his blood splattered on the ground. I mean, he just exploded right then. That type of person immediately regrets their anger. It says in Genesis 4, Cain became furious. He scowled in anger. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. Attacked. This type of person are embarrassed usually. They regret what they've said. They regret what they've done. They apologize. They're ashamed. We've all met this kind of anger, the maniac. Secondly, the mute. This is the exact opposite. It's the silent person. They clam it in. They hold it in. Instead of blowing up, they won't even admit they're angry. They conceal how they feel. This is the crockpot version. You know, they stew and simmer, and they keep it all inside. Listen, when I swallow my anger, my stomach keeps the score. The person who does this is susceptible to all the maladies, high blood pressure, ulcers, headaches, tension headaches, backaches. In fact, all kinds of illnesses can be traced to bottled up anger. Dr. McMillan, who wrote that classic book back in the 70s or late 60s, None of These Diseases, has listed in that book 51 types of illnesses that can be caused by bottling up your anger, by being emotionally upset and holding on to it. In the scriptures, Jeremiah was a man like this. It says in Jeremiah 15, he says, I stayed by myself and I was filled with anger in verse 17. And he says, why do I keep on suffering? Why are my wounds incurable? Why won't they heal? Listen, he was holding it in and it was killing him. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, that burns me up? They're right, it is on the inside because they're letting it. It's not so much what you eat that counts. It's what eats you up. It's anger on the inside. Well, there's the maniac, and then there's the mute. How about this? When you ever met the martyr? They're the pro at pity parties. They're always punishing themselves. They're very passive. Whenever someone gets angry, they say, oh, it must be my fault. Oh, what's wrong with me? Their favorite words are, oh, I should have, I must, I ought to, I have to. And they just go on. And before long, they're depressed. And one sign of the martyr, how they deal with anger, is depression. And depression is just their internalized anger most of the time. And anger internalized becomes depression in them. And a good example is the prodigal son in Luke 15. Do you remember? It says the elder brother was so angry he wouldn't go into the party. You see the martyr? He says, I worked and he didn't. He gets everything. And so he gets angry. What does he do? Sulks. It just wipes them out. The problem with the martyr is they make everybody else miserable around them. Then there's the last one, the manipulator. This is the Lee Iacocca version of anger. When, if you remember historically, when he was fired by Ford, do you remember what his line was? Don't get mad, get even. And there are people like this in life. And what they do is, in fact, a lot of television shows are about this, they figure out how to get back. And they retaliate in an underhanded way through sarcasm or those subtle jibes or indirect contact. This is the person who will burn your toast or make you late or forget stuff you told them to bring or will tease you hurtfully and in this form because it's more spiritual than exploding. While I will be very nice to you, I will cut you behind my back is what they say. This is the manipulator approach. It's pretending to be nice and trying to get even. A good example of this is the Pharisees. In Luke 6, it says they were furious with Christ, but because they had to smile on the outside and be religious leaders, they plotted secretly how they would kill him. See, they were the manipulators. They were getting people to make false accusations against him, and they were going to get him. You know, everyone gets angry, but just in different ways. All of us are one of these ways, and all four of these ways are learned. And the good news is, listen, the scriptures say all of them can be unlearned. And all of them can be redirected by God into the proper use of energy and of emotions that will bring glory to Him. That's what God says. How do we do that? Well, let me just take you to four verses. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. And what it says in this passage, and look at Ephesians 4 verse 22 with me for just a moment. But it says, the wrath of man in James doesn't produce God's righteousness, therefore lay aside that. Now look how we do this. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. The Apostle Paul says this, and that, in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self. It's corrupted according to the lusts of deceit. Did you catch that? Lay aside. You know what that word is, literally? Strip it off. This is the word for someone who is working and they've worked and they've gotten all messy and their clothes are filthy. And so you stop them at the door and you say, whoa, take it off right there in the garage. Take it off. Just take them off right there. Put them in a bag. You know, don't come in here with that on. Or the kids, when they come in with those big muddy boots from playing in the woods, you stop them and you say, wait, right there. Just let me untie those. Just slip right out of those, you know. Leave it behind. You know what he's saying? Strip off, take off, get rid of, put it away, the old ways. Now look at Colossians, the next two books over. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Two books to the right. Chapter 3, verse 8. Says this, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Put them off. You learned them. They are habits. They are learned habits. So you can unlearn them. Put them off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Stop them at the door. I like how one high school boy was in Sunday school class years back, and the teacher was going through this whole passage, and the teacher says, did you get that? And the young fellow looked up and said, yes, I got it. And this is what I got. I have two masters. I have my new master, Jesus, my old master, Adam, the old flesh. And he says, and when anger knocks at the door, if I let Jesus answer the door, I always win. But when anger knocks at the door, and I let my old flesh, old Adam, answer the door, I always lose. You know what? Don't let the flesh answer the door. Strip away anger, malice, wrath, evil communication, all this. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 12. That's, Colossians, 1 Second Thessalonians, 1 Second Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. There we go. Turn to the right, about six books, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And this is so graphic. He's talking about a race. And he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, all these who have made it, who have run the course and glorified God, let us, verse 1 of Hebrews 12, lay aside every weight. He says those bad habits of the anger and of the manipulative anger or the maniac or the mute, the martyr, whatever you are, that's a weight. And that's holding back your relationship, your family. That's holding back your spiritual growth, your life. Lay aside that weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the races set before us. One last reference, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So it goes Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter, two books over to the right. Verse 1, therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all evil speaking. And look at verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now back to James, and I want to wrap all this up, okay? This is what he says. He says, verse 21 of James 1, therefore, lay aside, strip it off, filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. Now, look at verse 21, and receive. You know what that word speaks of? It speaks of, have you ever seen a bird in the nest? We used to have a nest outside our window, and we'd, every year they'd refluff it, and the eggs would be there, and we would never get near it, and wouldn't bother them. We'd watch, and then the little mother would sit there all that time, and they'd hatch, and then those little fuzzy things would be like this. And as soon as she got near, I mean, I never saw a mouth open that wide. And she'd take those gross, wiggling, slimy worms and drop them right in their mouths. Of course, I think they tear them up a little bit. I don't think they put the whole one in, but it doesn't matter. That's the Greek word. A mouth open as wide as it can get. Eagerly. Come before the Lord. Look what it says. And eagerly, as if you were sitting at Christ's feet, with meekness, receive the implanted word. Let the word of God take root and bear fruit, which is able to save your souls, not from damnation. This is not a salvation passage. You got saved in 18. This is from damage to your life. If you open up and eagerly say, God, get rid of that. Strip it off. I'm going to take off my muddy boots. I'm going to take off my dirty clothes. I'm going to leave them in the garage. I'm going to be a new creature in Christ, and I'm going to sit at your feet, and I'm going to open my mouth up as wide as it can, and I'm going to ask you to feed me from your word. Now, that's not a casual encounter with the Bible, but that's what we're supposed to do every day, eagerly seek Him.